Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT and Leanne, After Hours, the conversation that continued after the show was done.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody, welcome to After Hours. I'm JT, along with Leanne Whippin and Meathead from AmazingRibs.com. This is the second part of the 4th of July show, and as usual, we have Meathead in for the holidays, you might say. So we've got some fun stuff here. Little more trivia for you. I'm just going to ask you a couple of fun questions, and then we'll get on to the other stuff.
I love your trivia questions. They always stump me.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
What year was the very first 4th of July fireworks show put on, and where?
Oh, God, I'm going to guess it was surrounding one of the World's Fairs. How about the 1893 World's Fair?
Okay.
Leanne? I'm going to say it was earlier than that. I'm going to say 1850 New York.
Well, you're both only off by about 100 years.
It was Fort Sumter, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was Philadelphia in 1777.
Oh, no, they didn't waste any time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised they had the know-how. But.
And you both know which two presidents actually died on the 4th of July, right?
No.
Meathead?
I'm sorry.
Which two presidents actually passed away on the 4th of July? Long time ago.
Gosh, I knew. Was it
Lincoln?
I used to know this, and I don't.
No, it was John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. And then
who had an infamous rivalry.
Yes, yes. And then James Monroe actually died 5 years later. And because they died in 1826 and Monroe died in 1831. So there you go. Okay. For something fun, we thought we'd do a little different here. We'll get back to some trivia in a minute. What's the oldest item in your refrigerator?
My refrigerator is a blast. I'm a condiment guy. I have I have mustards going back to the Civil War. I mean, I have pickled corn, which I have no reason to save, but there's is still a jar of it in there.
Yeah, I'm a condiment freak, but I would say, and shame on me for not dating it, but my bacon grease tub.
I have a bacon grease jar and a tallow jar. And the tallow jar is a full quart. I don't know what I'm going to do with a quart of tallow.
Sell it.
Yeah, they sell it now in the stores. I was at my barbecue store.
They sell it on Amazon.
Recently, and they have tallow jar. They have spray tallow.
Yeah. You could make it Meathead's Private Reserve Tallow.
There you go.
That's right.
It's something like that.
Aged.
Yes.
Aged.
What's the one song you want to hear when you first get into your car and turn on the radio? You know, Meathead a few weeks ago told me, he goes, I hate After Hours. He goes, it's like a test.
Yeah,
it is. It's tough.
Well, the era in which I listened to music most was when I was in college, and that was the late '60s and early '70s. So all that early stuff: Grand Funk, Hendrix, Joplin. That's my music. Unbiased statement, it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbiased.
Well, it's true. That's the, when I got my first radio gig, which was in the 70s, and I was a lot younger then, but that's the stuff I played, you know, like that. And that's why when I get in my car, I turn on Sirius XM to channel 25 or 26, which is Classic Rewind and another one of the classic rocks, and they play a lot of that stuff. That's what I usually listen to. So, okay, Leanne, what song do you want to hear when you jump in the Kia?
I would like to hear AC/DC Back in Black.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Who, name an unsung hero of the barbecue world or the food world.
I'm going to mention someone, but he's not unsung, but he's unsung in the barbecue. Kent Rollins. Kent is the OG chuck wagon cook. And he is not strictly, you know, grilling and barbecue. He does an awful lot of stuff in cast iron. But this guy... he actually occasionally loads up the chuck wagon and follows the driver, the drovers and the cattle on the trail. He cooks for the riders. Then he comes back. He's out of Tulsa area, I think. And he's got a brilliant YouTube channel. And he does grill and he does smoke, but he doesn't always do it the way barbecue people do it. But he has bazillions of followers. He's done several books. So he really can't go in the unsung category, but he's not well known necessarily in the barbecue world.
Right.
And I just love it. His books are wonderful. He's got a great sense of humor, big handlebar mustache, cowboy hat, the whole nine yards.
There you go.
Do you guys know him?
I know of him.
Yeah, I've never spoken to him, but I've read his stuff, watched his stuff. And
you got to watch some of his videos. In fact, actually, he just cooked a recipe out of my book and did it perfectly. Marvelous.
Hmm. Excellent. Okay, Leanne.
I think there's too many to mention. I can't even think. You know, there's so many cooks that are not on TV that can make fabulous food and they aren't YouTube sensations, you know, so... Kudos to all those people that make everybody happy. But of course, I'll have to be impartial and say my dad.
Okay. Okay.
I think I've told this story on this show before, but the first competition I ever judged was the Jack Daniels International Championship.
That was your first comp?
My first competition.
Well, you had to win a comp to get there.
I was judging. I wasn't cooking.
Oh, judging. Okay, gotcha.
First time I was judging, and my table captain was some guy named Jim Tabb.
Yeah, that would be my dad.
Would be your dad. And he was very cool, and I got to meet him and talk to him and strike up conversation and learn a thing or two. And I will never forget my first table captain.
He was a note taker. I have a huge, like, it's probably 8 inches deep of all the notes that he took over the years, albeit from people that he ran into in foreign countries and back kitchens, you know, all little things that he learned along the way. And it's really very interesting.
Now you have me worried. If you find my name in there, burn it.
How about you, Jeff? Jeff?
Jeff, how about you?
I'm thinking.
It's hard to think of people that aren't known. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to usually be like a friend or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's, again, I'll revert back to where I live, and Leanne, you've been here. We have a lot of Hispanic population, and there's a lot of small restaurants here. And some of the people that cook in those little hole in the walls are these elderly Mexican or Spanish ladies, and they make this phenomenal food. You don't even know their names. But they just, like, you'll sit down and it, you know, whatever you order, and it's never, their food is never like, I'll have a cheese enchilada, and a pork taco or something like that. I mean, it's these marvelous plates of food, chili Colorado or something like that, and it's just, but you never know their name. But they've probably got more history and family recipes and what they have on the menu there, like that. And
It's
so, like,
probably all in their head too, the recipes.
yeah, it's nothing's written down, and they make it, and you're not going to see them on Food Channel or Food Network or anything like that. They're just there. That's why I was kind of scratching my head about that. I probably should have thought of an answer after I wrote the question. But like that. Okay, let's go back to barbecue just for a second. And Leanne, you can probably attest to this more because you've been more in the comp world. What's one thing you wish barbecue people would not do?
Cut their big pieces of meat to fit the box just because it's part of the comp, like a brisket, cutting it down to the size of a 9x9 box. That just kills me. Cutting out the money muscle. Just take the big piece of meat and cook it.
Yeah.
I
I love that.
hate the modification on meat these days in comps. So that's my, yeah, that's one thing.
Meathead.
I have a pretty strong pet peeve here
Oh
in my
boy.
Oh,
Hobby
here we go.
world.
Yeah. Your listeners who've heard us before may know that I had a career in wine before I switched to solid food in the year 2000. I was on the USA wine tasting team, and I was a wine buyer for a chain of stores. I was listed as one of the 10 most influential people in the world of wine. And I am watching the barbecue world turn into the wine world in the sense that there is a strong snobbery running through the veins of many barbecue people who, I mean, right now, what's going on in the barbecue world is really exciting. I see Asian flavors and Spanish flavors entering barbecue. There's a barbecue joint in Fort Worth where he's from Texas and she's from Ethiopia, and the Ethiopian flavors are there in her food. In Atlanta, he's from Georgia and she's from Korea, and the Korean flavors are there. Bill Durney, whom we all know and love, highly creative, doing marvelous things with nuts and stuff in barbecue. This is the trend, and there is a core group of know-nothings, knuckle draggers, who get very upset and say, "There's no barbecue." And to them, barbecue is just ribs and pork and brisket. And there's this group in the North Car I think it's North Carolina called Real Barbecue. And if it's not cooked over logs, they don't consider it barbecue. I mean, this is just asinine. And it is just silly and it's childish, and it shows they don't understand culinary. It's called the culinary arts because it's an art, and arts grow by creativity and experimentation. And this snobbery, I run into it, and I run into it most frequently in the competition community because that's what they cook in competitions, is the classics. And I love the barbecue canon. I love the, I mean, my ribs are pretty straight down the line, standard ribs, you know. But I also love Chinese ribs, you know. In fact, that was the first place I fell in love with ribs, was in a
Me
Chinese
too.
restaurant when I was about 10 years old.
Yep.
So that it concerns me, that there's this snobbery that I saw in the wine world. And it's there. Wine people will deny it, but it's there. And it's creeping into the barbecue world, and I really don't like it.
I would agree with you on that because I think we have to open our minds and look at other culinary cuisines, not just geographically, but the creativity behind it. And yeah, there I love, like you were saying, the barbecue classics, you know, the ribs, the brisket, whatever. But the antithesis of that, the only thing that kind of irritates me sometimes is when they try to do these like smash burgers that are a foot and a half tall, and they're putting everything but the kitchen sink on it, you know, like that. That I'm not a fan of. But
Oh
overall,
man. You
but
I didn't mean to interrupt, but you just struck a nerve. I mean, on social media we see these hamburgers that are just disgusting.
Yeah, that's not a hamburger. That's a, I don't know what you want to call it,
It's an abomination is what it is.
but the barbecue, if you're gonna do the barbecue competition world, and they've got their rules and regs, and Leanne is more familiar with it than anybody, I get that. But if you're gonna be cooking in the backyard, why not try to make some Korean ribs, or why not try to, you know, make some barbacoa or whatever. And I don't care. Experiment. That's what makes life good, you know, especially in the food world. We have a lot of creative people, like the two people I'm talking here with today. And it's, I think you're missing the boat if you don't open up to do that. That's my little soapbox stance here. Really.
Well, I want to add, if I can, a small advertisement. My
Sure.
new book, The Meathead Method. The first book I did covered all the classic barbecue dishes: ribs, chicken, pulled pork, and so on, steaks, burgers. This new book, I try to get outside the box. There's a lot of Asian ingredients and Spanish influence and tweaks to the classics. Although I have tried to replicate the way competition cooks do cook, so that if you're thinking about competing or you'd like to try competition ribs, I'll give you that recipe in the new book. But a great deal of the book is outside the box, and it's fun, and it's, I think, where barbecue is going next.
Yeah, I think it's great.
That's why it's on Anne's coffee table.
That's right.
It made the coffee table cut at the
No,
Whitman
if the
household.
bookshelf was full, that's probably why.
No.
No.
Okay, last question. And Leanne, you do this more than I think Meathead and I do at this point. When you're on the road a lot, traveling, what's one place that you always look forward to going and why?
Well, you travel to all different destinations, so that's a hard thing to. I try to. All right, like I was just in Philly. All right, so I try to eat what Philly's known for, you know, the
Right.
cheesesteaks or whatever. So wherever my destination is, and like he, so now I'm headed to Detroit, and Meat has me all totally hyped up to get dogs there, you know.
Yeah,
So I
yeah.
try to eat the food that they're known for. So that's usually my goal. And
Yes.
you know, or go to a historical restaurant. You know, it might not be the best food, but just to, you know, learn about the history and see the pictures on the wall and, you know, that
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
yeah,
So
yeah.
that's what I like to do when I travel. I don't try to go to the top restaurant, you know, because it's a Michelin star. I like the hole in the wall dives. I try to talk to people that live where I'm going to get the inside scoop on those little sleeper places.
Yep.
I'm exactly the same way. Absolutely. And by the way, I nowadays used to just hit all the barbecue joints because I had to learn. Nowadays, it's anything but barbecue. I really I want to eat seafood on the coast. And by the way, Leanne, Detroit dogs are often served with a ground meat chili, and it's
Oh.
usually made from beef heart.
Oh.
Hey, the
You
heart is
can't
just a
tell.
muscle.
That's
Yeah.
all right.
And it's
I
a
can
very
do
tough muscle,
it.
and it's so it's best when ground.
Yeah.
I can handle it. Yes,
My
you can.
it's
Favorite.
very typical. And of course, don't forget Detroit pizza while you're in town.
Of course. That's a must.
That's a
You
must.
This is my
touched
first
on.
time to Detroit, so I'm actually looking forward to the culinary side of
Yeah.
things over there.
I've been there a few times. It's I always enjoyed the trip and enjoyed the food. I like Well, we used to call them dark smoky bars, but you can't smoke anymore, and that's fine. But I like what you two are talking about. I like to find a place, and if they have a restaurant and it's got a little bar section in the back, and it, I like to go sit in there, unless somebody's in there raising hell, and talk to the waitress and say, "What do you recommend? You know, what's the local?"
Yeah, that's a good thing too.
You know, I do that.
Oh, I always ask the staff, and I rarely have been steered wrong.
Yeah, yeah, that's my favorite thing too. All right, we're gonna wrap this up, and Meathead, thank you as always, my friend.
Always to be good with to be with you guys. You guys yes, are the best.
You too. Happy.
This
fourth.
Is always fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Leanne. Safe travels up to Leanne's doing the LPGA tournament, the Dow in Detroit, big event for on the golf world. And I think she's going to have a lot of fun. So
she's not doing it as a golfer. She's going to be cooking for the golfer.
Cooking. Yeah. Yeah. Cooking. She's got golf shoes.
Golfing. I wish I was golfing. Yeah.
Are you a golfer?
I do like to golf. I'm not very good, but I do enjoy it.
Well, see.
Well, as we all know, our host Jeff is a renowned
avid golfer.
Golfer yeah. and commentator and interviewer on the subject.
Leanne has really high-end golf shoes that we got her a year ago.
I do. So. And I've been told that you're supposed to wear those when you walk a tournament. Golf shoes, is that true?
You can. It's, you know, something comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of walking. But yeah, you do that. Anyway, I hope you guys all have a great 4th of July. To our listeners, I hope you all have a 4th of July. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Be safe, be kind, and just smile. That's it. Smile. Have a good time. We'll see you all later.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.